The center appears to have been a place of mediation between the heavens and the underworld. And here again, as in the Andes, as in the Mesoamerica, as with the Maya, shamans mediated between the living and the supernatural. We know that from the sculpture, where there were transformations of humans into animals depicted, they probably used music and elaborate costumes, appearing as jaguars, eagles, and other animals. At the same time, the priests could cause water to thunder through tunnels and channels in the shrine, replicating the link between the rain-giving mountains above, the temple, and the layers of the cosmos. It must have been a very dramatic performance with the water thundering through these channels. So much so that between about AD 250, 850 and 200 BC, Xavin de Huántar was an important place of pilgrimage with a sizable population. But it never became a fully-fledged state. And eventually, center of pilgrimage evaporated and collapsed, but its religious ideas endured. And they, again, were one of the catalysts for the development of civilization, both on the lowlands and on the highlands. After 200 BC, a series of wealthy states flourished along the north coast. The longest-lasting and most powerful of these was the Moche state, which endured for 800 years. Its major centers and irrigation works lay in the Chicama and Moche valleys, and it became one of the first multi-valley states, and actually maintained loose political connections far down the coast. We don't know a great deal about the Moche, unfortunately, because many of the burials, which normally are such an informative aspect of coastal archaeology, have been looted. But, thanks to a fortunate discovery in 1989, we have finally learned something of the remarkable rulers of this society. It was a society closely focused on intensive agriculture in the valleys and on the coastal fisheries. And it appears to have been presided over by a series of noble families, probably who were related to one another, which lived at different major centers. One of these centers was a place called Sipan, a major center in the Lambayeque Valley, where in about 400 AD, a series of Moche lords were buried in their full regalia. They were discovered by looters, but fortunately Walter Alva, a Peruvian archaeologist, was able to move in and excavate three magnificent royal burials. The discoveries from these sepulchres, which are less known than those of the pharaoh Tutankhamun, in my view rival those of the Egyptian pharaoh, and in some aspects are even more spectacular. The three men were buried in their full regalia. They wore magnificent gold masks. On their heads were feathers and an elaborate crescent-shaped headdress, which glittered of gold. They wore elaborate body ornaments in gold and silver, which represented the polarity of the world as represented as the sun and the moon. They wore cotton raiment, elaborate necklaces, sandals, and carried scepters. In a recent exhibition of the finds from the tombs, there was a mannequin of a lord of Sipan dressed in his full regalia. And they had a light playing on him, and the mannequin moved slightly. And you could imagine just for a moment what he would look like if he glittered in the sun as he stepped out of a temple high on the pyramid, and below him in the plaza would be a crowd attending a ceremony. And here was this man who appeared glittering perhaps in the setting sun, with the sun glittering off the gold plaques on his dress and off his headdress. It must have been a magnificent sight, a living sun god. Who were these people?